What just happened there when these came down like that? And you started breathing here too?
Start believing you and be open.
That's it.
Welcome to Humble Brag. I'm Nate Mendel. My friends call me Nochi. My parents named me Nachum. But who gives a shit? It's just the name. A point of reference. Before I jump into my review and commentary of Tony Robbins' I'm Not Your Guru, I would like to give you a quick update about Humble Brag. We've recently restructured and we're looking forward to new growth this year. We are going to transition most episodes from the traditional long form method to the trendier short form method. This means a more focused conversation where each episode covers one topic, not multiple. We hope this will be appealing to our listeners and infuse our contributors with more creativity. Humble Brag as a whole is not a person. It's no longer a podcast, and it's certainly not a YouTube channel. Humble Brag is a media company that does and will continue to distribute content across the web. We are a group, a collective of content creators slash contributors, and you will begin to see more faces, more personalities covering more topics over the coming years. Now let's get into this. I have a soft spot for the self-help and personal growth genre, because it is precisely the immersion of it that propelled me to change my life around and subsequently achieve relative success in many areas, emotional, spiritual, physical. We're still working on the financial, but I even leaned into the self-help genre in my earliest episodes of the Humble Brag podcast, back then when it was called Faith is Strength, because it is a huge part of who I am. I saw myself really getting involved in that space. However, about 5 or so years ago, the whole self-help industry started to come under kind of like a negative light. First of all, everything started to seem so cliche. Second, the spur of fake gurus and scam artists became so rampant. And just all in all, a stigma started to grow around it. And just like many others, I started to get turned off by it. In my episode about fake gurus and contrapreneurs, I discussed the muck that pervades the industry. I discuss how I went from it to finding intellectualism to be more appealing to me due to its unbiased nature. And while all of that is still true, there's a part of me that feels drawn to the topic and feels like I can be a voice of reason slash balance in this space. And so without further ado, I would like to share a method by which I can share this balanced opinion, how self-righteous of me, on the matter without being too cliche and without boring people to death. By reviewing and providing commentary on existing materials, displaying genuine reactions and delving into the thicket of things, I can tap into my passions and do so without becoming a cult leader. And that's what this is about. The very successful motivators out there seem to have like a cult-like following that surrounds them. And while parts of what they do turn people on, other aspects turn people off. Figuring out the navigation of those uncertain roads intrigues me. To identify the nuance, determine right from wrong, warn others of the traps that lie ahead, and of course, glean from its fruits. Because however negative the industry is, there's an equal upside. A positive aspect that is so powerful it literally shapes half the humans walking planet Earth. Half the successful humans walking planet Earth, if not more. So I'm excited to get into this. Let's take a look at Tony Robbins' I'm Not Your Guru, and enjoy.
Why were you suicidal?
It's because I can feel very peak states in life, but I can go so deep that I don't see a way out.
Yes.
And I'm looking for a way to get out of my body or to hit myself or to...
By the way, I just want to say, asking somebody why they feel the way they feel, why they want to do, why they're inclined to do what they feel like they want to do, like he did. Why are you suicidal? Such a raw, basic question. But if you could answer that, then you're halfway to a cure. If you could be real with yourself, why you feel the way you feel, you're halfway to a cure.
I can explain that deep and I don't find a way out.
What makes you hate yourself? Is it the red shoes?
What?
Is it the red shoes?
No.
Are you sure? Because they're fucking red. Don't you be smiling like that. You'll fuck everything up. If you smile like that too much, you'll want to stick around.
He's using the aspect of you know, being kind of like provocative, out of the ordinary, and to lighten the mood, right? We don't have to take life so serious all the time. And sometimes when you get into the cycle of being so serious, you can't get yourself out of it. It's okay to laugh. It's okay to make jokes. And if something is beating you down so hard, as a last resort, make light of it. Turn it into a joke. Because if the alternative is death, suicide, it's not worth it. It's not worth the attention you're giving to it. It's not worth the seriousness you're giving to it. Life will go on. So this tactic of going from an ultra, ultra serious place to making a joke about the color of somebody's shoes has actually an intrinsic value.
I love that you have such high standards. But those aren't high standards. That's called perfection. And most people overestimate what they can do in a year, and they underestimate what they can do in 2 or 3 decades. And you haven't been around long enough to have those extra 2 or 3 decades. So don't fuck it up. There's time. And if you give yourself just a little bit of time, and if you'll be a little more loving to yourself, I think you're gonna find you got a lot to give. I can fucking feel it. And I know fucking people. And you know I do. That's right.
Thank you.
And I know you right now. Can you feel me?
Yes, I do.
So you and I are gonna make a deal.
You know, he looks in his eyes and he says, I know people. And I do believe that people who are that good, who have such an impact, really do know people well. That they learn how to read people, read their faces, feel their emotions, and connect on that level. And it's part of their gift, is connecting like that.
And we're going to make it so you can enjoy yourself.
Oh, are you sure?
Not just when you're jerking off, other times too.
Again, loves being provocative. Listen to realize the music that's playing in the background, how they're bringing that in lightly already.
Okay. And what you're gonna do is you're gonna remember as long as you live that I don't fucking bullshit. And you've seen it, haven't you?
Yes.
Do I tell the fucking truth? Even when it's painful, even when it's not sweet?
Yes.
I'm telling you the truth. You've just fucking begun and you're not gonna fuck it up. You're gonna take the time to fully develop and you're gonna find a way to enjoy a little bit along the way.
I don't fucking bullshit. You see how he kind of made it about himself, giving the person he's talking to responsibility to him, because he doesn't know much about this person necessarily. It's not like he's a family member, right? So you want to put some form of responsibility on the person, and he's putting it on him. He's essentially saying, like subconsciously, that now you're responsible to me, if that makes sense. So the person feels a sense of responsibility to deliver for someone else's sake.
There you go. Did you feel that?
Yes.
What was that that just happened? What just happened there when these came down like that and you started breathing here too?
Start to believe in you and be open.
Powerful. I watched this entire show on Netflix and it brought me to tears. I mean, regardless of how set up it is, and by set up I don't mean this is staged, I mean the mood, the entire environment is set up. Regardless of that truth, there is still something very powerful about having this type of impact. Doing what Tony Robbins is doing on this level, live, without rehearsal, without actors, is very, very, very powerful. It's a gift. And he does it very effectively. So this is emotional. It is real. It is powerful, especially for the person experiencing it and all the people there. You know, I've never gone to a workshop like this, even though I was wholly immersed in self-help. But I listen to books, read CDs, listen to CDs, watch some videos. I can't get myself to spend $5,000-$10,000 to go to a workshop. I'm too much in my head for that, right? When I'm there, I would be observing the minute details that would take the authenticity out of it. But a lot of people are not that hyper-focused. For example, one of the big things that we see from the Netflix, from the entire show, is that this is set up to succeed in that space. The music, the psychology that goes into it. So you can say it's not real, right? These are not real because he already knows this person's problems. He already knows how to trigger him, how to make him feel a certain way. And then when the person leaves, there's no impact, but that's not true. Just because the environment is set up doesn't mean that it's not genuine. It's like saying that you put in all this time and effort into preparing your wedding and so that people are festive, they get tipsy, there's dancing, there's fun, happiness, so it's not real. No, it's very real. The person is getting married. Impact is made. Lives are being changed. It's just very well planned. And I personally don't connect on that level. So I've never had the appeal to go to places like this, but I don't see anything wrong with it per se. Granted, you don't take it to that next level and worship the people that you're going to see. Let's look at one more.
So Sienna, what is it you're frustrated with? What is it that's not where you want it to be?
My diet.
Your diet. What about your diet?
Not that it has to be perfect, but that I know that my body and my health deserve better.
Okay. And better than what? Like, what are you not doing that you should be doing?
By the way, my instant reaction to this is that, you know, you're in a place with people who have big issues, and you yourself may have big issues. It almost feels like deflection, going to this eating thing. She's clearly fit. You know, she's not overweight. Doesn't seem like she has major health problems. But when you're in a room full of hurting people, people who have emotional and psychological problems, and you're talking about food when you're not necessarily overweight, it didn't seem right. So just watching that the first time, I was thinking to myself, like, it must be something deeper. And you see that Tony eventually just avoids this whole thing after he wastes some time with it and digs deeper and finds something there.
I'm not eating at the times of day I should be. Okay. That would be most beneficial for me. Okay. And it's making myself lose respect.
Lose respect for yourself?
Yes.
Okay. And when you lose respect for yourself, what do?
I then eat. It's a whole fun circle.
Yes.
Yeah.
And now, question. What are you doing all this for? What's life about?
It's about finding love and happiness.
Blah, blah, blah.
We're seeing it right before all the fucking shit happens right now. Is this cool? All right. Now let's take a look at something for a moment. This is where your model of the world has come from, the thing that's controlling all your decisions. Whose love did you crave the most growing up? Your mother or your father? Not who did you love more, I'm sure you loved them both. Whose love did you crave more? Truthfully.
Since I didn't quite get it, it was my dad's.
Yes, clearly. Who did you have to be for your father? First reaction.
Gosh. Whew.
Now, I really honor her right now. She's doing some real honest searching. Can you feel that? She didn't like this. You see that? See the bread? She liked that whole thing when I know what to say, know what to do, and I can achieve it all perfectly. This kind of uncertain world, like, what the fuck? This is the stuff most of us avoid, and she's not avoiding it. Give her a hand for that. That's really awesome.
Right. Well, it's because Tony's digging into the deeper issues. See, she defaulted to the food topic because it's an easier topic for her to talk about. She may be more comfortable. Yeah, she may struggle with food. We all do. Most of us do, anyway. But that's something that's easy for her to talk about. When he starts asking about the harder stuff, the answers are not flowing forth so smoothly, right?
Who did you have to be for your father? First gut reaction. Not what's said.
But it is commendable that, you know, she didn't chicken out, right? She's standing there thinking, and she continues to engage.
Not your intellect, not your positivity, the fucking truth of what you feel.
Ignorant to his behavior.
Which behavior did you have to be ignorant to?
Drug abuse.
Drug abuse. And yet you love him, clearly, regardless of his behaviors. You love your father, is that true?
Yes.
I don't know, is it true? Maybe you don't.
I struggle, but at the end of the day, I do.
Yes. She loves him, she just hates that she loves him so much. Is that true?
Yes.
So you craved your father's, because guess why? Rejection breeds obsession.
It's true, it's psychology 101. And these simple, anecdotal almost, cliche things that these motivators say that seem to trigger a lot of people are true. And you can't make away the impact that just hearing that, somebody in that room might hear that, what it might do to them. All the people who just sit and consider every single motivator out there a scam artist and a liar and a cheat is taking away from such a powerful utility and experience from people. I can never do that. This is why I talk about balance. I like to recognize which aspects, which things are cult-like, cultish, where you're going down a rabbit hole, where you've gone too far. But you must also be able to recognize when things are good, when things are positive, when they do have an impact. And that's the beautiful paradox of the self-help community. So much of it is so beautiful, so impacting, and so much of it is life-draining, depressing, and energy-sucking.
Is that your mother beside you?
Yes.
Yes.
She's the bomb. Love her.
Give her the microphone. What happens when she interacts with her father? What happens to her state? What happens to the way she is?
She is not afraid to tell him to go fuck himself.
Yes. Did you teach her how to do that?
I might have.
Yes.
Not knowingly, but I know she craved his love, but she wasn't crawling after it.
Oh, I didn't think she was.
No.
Here's the truth. There's this really sweet girl who's got a fucking tiger in there. Can you feel it?
Big time.
She's like the outside. Yeah. Right? She has that inside. But showing that's not really appropriate. By the way, you did show her how to do that.
I did.
Didn't you?
Yeah.
That's because you had your own fuck yous with him, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Many.
And she loves you, and she saw that, and she modeled it. What if I told you that it's possible that there's a little bit of an imbalance that she needs to heal, or she will never heal completely?
I believe that totally.
Yeah. And that for her to do that, she'd have to claim not just the fuck you. She'd have to reclaim the vulnerability that she has around him, too. But if she doesn't do it, it's going to show up with pain for her with men in the future.
Yeah.
You're piling it on might make you feel like you're owning yourself, but you're piling it on is just burying the very person whose love you crave and who desperately needs your acceptance. Mm-hmm. As much as you've hated him, he's...
All the tears in the room, right? Everyone's emotional. Everyone's feeling the experience. One of the very important things going to a workshop like that or being part of any of these types of things are understanding that it's only really impactful if you take it home and implement, right? It's so easy to be part of an experience and shed a tear and feel the emotion. It's also very easy to go down a rabbit hole and get stuck in those emotions, lay there forever, wither away, become a depressed person. Self-help made me depressed. Self-help destroyed my life. Self-help is a utility, and it's only as powerful as the person putting it into practice. If you get stuck down a rabbit hole, you fucked up. I don't know much about Tony Robbins whatsoever. I watched I'm Not Your Guru. That's about as much as I know about him. I'm not the type of person to say things about, think for other people. I don't think for other people. I don't put things in people's mouths and stuff like that. That's not me. I could only judge and give my opinion on what I see. I Am Not Your Guru by Netflix is something I could see. So I could give my opinion on what I'm looking at. What his intentions are, it's between him and God. No idea. From what I see and from what I saw and from the entire movie, I don't see anything wrong necessarily. I do find it fascinating that it is so well produced, the entire experience, the emotions, the fact that they have the music ready right there. So as soon as you hit an emotional spot, the music goes up and people are feeling it. It's like, nostalgia, right? That doesn't speak to me because I love authenticity. I love genuine stuff, stuff that's not cooked up. However, I could also appreciate the impact that that could have. I wouldn't spend $5,000-$10,000 for an experience like that, but I could appreciate that a certain percentage of people who are at that event could be impacted for the rest of their life. There has to be that balance. You can't take away from that. His cursing, I don't have a problem with it. I also think that it became a little bit overdone, because what happens was, from my perspective, 10, 20 years ago, the early 2000s, people were, the world was more formal, right? And even self-help had a certain approach to it, a certain grace to it. The generations were changing. And with that change came the need for bursting out, freedom of speech, just free spirit. This is early 2000s. So there are certain people, and especially the younger generations, who are adapting the shitless mentality. And with that came the expression of the tongue. But the people who adapted that type of speech, those speech patterns, they're using it as a tool, just like he explains in the show. But it especially is effective for people who don't generally communicate that way. I was on the streets for years with the boys, drugs, cars, hip-hop, you know, all the, thought it was cool, trying to be a thug, the whole nine yards. For us cursing, for people on the street cursing, it means absolutely nothing. There's no value, there's no utility, it's just how you talk. So to say fucking shit means absolutely nothing. When somebody like Tony Robbins used the F word in a crowd, half of which are, you know, white folk who speak properly, that is like a pinch on their ass. Oop! And it makes you instantly think. I don't have a problem with it. I actually do agree that it's a utility. And I would also say that a lot of people like that authenticity. Because the opposite is what? Somebody who is perfectly formal and reserved and chooses their words carefully, you don't feel like you're getting into the emotions with them, especially coming from somebody that needs to talk about emotions and dig deep. So in terms of his demeanor, I can't speak for his intentions. In terms of his demeanor and what I gather from watching this, he seems very legit. I don't seem to have any problem. Most of what he says, I agree with. I only caution the things that become a little cult. Like, you have to always remember, in terms from the marketing perspective, if there is no product, you are the product. There are big complaints in this industry that you're paying for nothing, right? Everything you're paying for at this workshop, you could get by reading a book for $30 that costs you $20-$30. But I don't know if I agree with that, because going to a workshop like this is an experience. And even if 80% of the people will not carry the weight of that experience with them as they continue on with their life, the 10-20% who do, the 10-20% who it did impact, means something. So all in all, I think it was a great show. I love how honest it was. I love that they showed the background. I love that they showed the planning, because it shows you, yes, this is not a secret. This is a production. This is like setting up theater. You want to come be part of it. You have to know people have big problems. People need impactful change. They need experiences to wake them up, to shake them up. So I can't make it away. I could just say that I wouldn't pay that much money for it. But would I listen to a CD and get motivated? Yes. In fact, I did. That is how I changed my life around, by listening to CDs and reading books and just immersing myself in a ton of it. But I didn't just immerse myself. I didn't get down and fall into a negative cycle of it. I actually used the information to change my life, to change the way I think, to change the way that I feel, and to change the way that I communicate. Everything about me is different. So while you're going to have haters on the opposite side of the spectrum, so you have the people who are cult followers, right? Weird behaviors. I don't know what's up with that clapping. That's weird to me. And then I see other people doing it. Stuff like that, I have no clue what it is. I don't even want to look into it. Why? Because stuff like that doesn't appeal to me. I don't pick up weird habits and start doing what the person who taught me to be happy is doing. To me, that's cult-like. So there are those types of behaviors that you should be wary of. But just the overall information, I think, is nice. I think it's beneficial, and I think it could change your life. So all in all, I think that this particular show on Netflix is very nice, very impactful. It shows you the insides and behind the scenes of what goes on at a big workshop that is meant to help lots of people. And I think there's a lot to glean out of it. Thank you for stopping by. Please like and subscribe. And There will be many more to come. Peace and love.